Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question and answer session, please press star and then one on your phone. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. Now I'll turn the meeting over to your host, Mr. Carlos Macaulay. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you very much, Erin. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Carlos Macaulay. I serve as group leader in the Office of School Turnaround. I'm also joined by other members of the office, including Kim Light, Sinead Boston, Sara Whaley, Molly Budman, and Janine Rutter. We also have David Yee, Letitia Melton, and Christopher Tate, who are not part of the call today. Today will be the first of several quarterly calls our office will be implementing moving forward. These calls are meant to inform and keep all of you up to date on decisions or news impacting the school improvement grant. Today's call will provide an update on recent news, including the recent release of the ESA flexibility FAQs, highlighting SIG questions, the turnaround core grant, an update on the FY13 SIG application approvals, and lastly, the sequester. We will then open the lines for any questions that any of you may have. Our first item on the agenda is the School Turnaround AmeriCorps program. Last month, I sent an email to each of you announcing a new competitive grant program in partnership with the Corporation of for National and Community Services. This grant will provide $15 million in public funds over 3 years to reinforce and accelerate intervention efforts in the nation's lowest performing schools. The School Turnaround AmeriCorps program, as it is titled, will support the placement of dedicated AmeriCorps members in schools implementing a turnaround effort through the SIG program or turnaround principals as priority schools under the an approved ESA flexibility waiver. This grant seeks to increase student academic achievement, increase attendance, and high school graduates by supplying struggling schools with much needed talent to support implementation. The Notice of Funding Opportunity, or NOFO, for the School Turnaround AmeriCorps grant and the application can be found on our website. Applications are due April 23rd, 2013 at 5 p.m. Over the next week or so, we will forward to each of you a set of frequently asked questions on the grant. In the interim, should you have any questions, please contact your program officer. Next on the agenda, we wanted to discuss the recently released ESA flexibility addendum questions. The addendum highlights several questions pertaining to the school improvement grant. While I will not read each question, I wanted to highlight several FAQs in the guidance pertaining to SIG, specifically B23A, the second question is C35A, and last C39A. B23A, may an SEA award SIG funds to an LEA for use in focus schools that are not otherwise eligible for SIG funds as Tier 1, Tier 2, or Tier 3 schools? The answer to this question is no, unless an SEA is granted an additional waiver to do so. In the absence of such an additional waiver, an SEA that has received ESA flexibility may award SIG funds to an LEA only for SIG-eligible Tier 1, Tier 2, or Tier 3 schools, or for those states with ESA flexibility waiver requests approved, ESA flexibility waiver requests priority schools. The second FAQ I wanted to direct you all to is, what is the difference between redesigning the school day, week, or year to include additional time for students' learning and teacher collaboration as required by the turnaround principles and providing increased learning time as required by the transformation model and the turnaround models under SIG? This is a question we've received quite frequently. The answer to this question, redesigning the school day, week, or year does not necessarily require adding time to increase the total number of school hours. Rather, an LEA might, for example, move to block scheduling to reduce transition between classes and thus increase instructional time. Providing increased learning time under SIG, however, requires actually adding time to the school day, week, or year to significantly increase the total number of school hours, although extending learning time into before or after school hours is permissible under this definition, so as long as before or after school instructional program is available to all students. See A32 in the SIG guidance. So we wanted to make that distinction in terms of increased learning time between those under the SIG and under the ESEA flexibility waiver. The last question I wanted to direct you to is,
in connection with C39A,
A is an atom. In connection with the replacement of a principal,
what is the difference
between implementing interventions aligned with the turnaround principles under ESEA flexibility
and implementing the turnaround
or transformation model under SIG? The answer to this question, an LEA that receives SIG funds to implement a turnaround or transformation model in a school must replace the principal in the school under SIG's final requirements. An LEA that implements
interventions aligned with the turnaround principles,
however,
need not replace the principal in a priority school if it can demonstrate to its SEA
that it has reviewed the performance and qualifications of the current principal and, based on that review, determined that the principal has a track record
of improving achievement
and has the ability to lead the turnaround efforts. There are several additional questions related to SIG in the FAQ document, including C43A, C43B, and C43D. We won't highlight all of them, but we encourage each of you to review the document on our website.
I think the takeaway here
also is that if a priority school or any school is receiving SIG funds, SIG requirements apply. The guidance is located on ED's website. The FAQ currently is located on the ESEA Flexibility website. We will be adding to SIG documents that will include additional FAQs.
As a part of that addition will also mean including these questions that are highlighted in today's conversation.
The third item on the agenda for today's call is an update on the FY13 SIG applications. To date, we've awarded 21 states their FY13 SIG awards, including awarding 10 states today. We encourage each of you to submit or resubmit your applications as soon as possible. In particular, because there is a push for new awards to districts being made no later than May 31st, any state making new awards this year must be approved this month to ensure sufficient time for LEA awards. Our goals are to continue to move quickly through the review process and to ensure that you are awarded in a timely manner. Finally, and what I wanted to spend more time on today before we open it up for questions, and last on the agenda, is the issue of the sequester. I wanted to read a brief overview of sequestration for not only SIG, but for all OESE programs. This includes Title I. We're going to specifically talk about SIG because of today's call. But overall, sequestration is required by the Budget Control Act of 2011, which called for automatic across-the-board reductions in federal spending unless Congress reached agreement on long-term deficit reduction. While the deadline for reaching agreement on deficit reduction was delayed and sequestration postponed from the original January 2, 2013 deadline, it took effect on March 1, 2013, when the President legally required to issue a sequester order. The full impact of sequestration on the Department of Education programs cannot be determined until Congress completes a full fiscal year 13 appropriations bill. Current sequestration impact estimates assume the enactment of a full FY 2013 continuing resolution at the FY 2012 level, followed by across-the-board cuts of 5% for each K-12 program, project, and activity in ed. Sequestration applies only to the FY13 funds in the K-12 space. With the exception of impact aid, these funds support program activities in the school year 2013-14, not in the school year 2012-2013. Sequestration only reduces funding levels. It does not change the underlying statutory requirements of ed programs. For example, there is no change in maintenance of effort requirements, supplement not supplant rules, hold harmless requirements, or state or local reservations of funding for required activities. and formula grants programs, the 5% cut will be taken off the top prior to determining formula allocations. This means changes in formula factors such as student counts or state per pupil expenditures could result in allocations to individual states or LEAs that are higher or lower than 5%. This obviously impacts the school improvement grant. As you know, the school improvement grant is a formula grant program in the state. Ed expects to announce preliminary formula grant allocations within approximately 30 days of receiving a final appropriation for FY 2013. For example, if Congress passed a final appropriations at the end of March, Ed would announce preliminary allocations by the end of April or early May. Initial estimates of the impact of sequestration on the 12 largest Ed formula grant programs are available on our website. This includes an estimate of the FY 2013 school improvement grants with a 5% reduction from FY 12 enacted levels. And as you take a look at the estimate of the FY 2013 school improvement grants with the 5% reduction, please keep in mind that this is an estimate. Funding for competitive grant programs also will be reduced by 5% overall. But in programs with funds available in FY 2013 for both new and continuation awards, Ed will give priority to making full, unreduced continuation awards consistent with the Ed regulatory requirements before making any new award. In competitive grant programs, making only continuation awards in FY 13, each continuation award will be reduced by 5%. Ed will announce specific plans for each competitive grant program, including those making new and continuation awards, shortly after receiving a final FY 2013 appropriation. We will continue to keep you updated, particularly as a new appropriation, a final FY 2013 appropriation bill is signed. For the purposes of SIG, this will impact FY 13 moving forward with the potentially with the 5% reduction. It does not include any awards that have already been made, even if you have carryover funds from previous awards. So I want to make that clear. This does not include any of the previous FY09, FY10, FY11, or FY12 awards that have been made to states already. It also does not include any cuts and reductions from those funds that are continue to be available through the period of availability and or that have been carried over from year to year out of those pots of money. Again, on our website, there is an estimated breakdown by state of the projected FY 2013 school improvement grants with the 5% reduction from the FY 12 enacted level. And this 5% reduction obviously impacts each state differently. With that said, before we open up to questions, I want to also make you aware of some upcoming events. Over the next several months, the Office of School Turnaround will begin. It's our peer-to-peer convenings in May and June. We are obviously planning on having an annual conference convening here in September. We will also conduct a June quarterly call providing updates on potentially the sequestration and other items. Another big item is the data release. Over the next 2 months, the Department of Education will release the leading indicators as it relates to the SIG implementation. I encourage each one of you to talk with your EdFax coordinators. The department is currently going back to your EdFax coordinators for some clarifying questions on some data that has been submitted. The data as it stands right now will be a state-by-state profile data release. So again, we encourage each one of you to reach out to your state EdFax coordinators to ensure that the most up-to-date and accurate data has been submitted as a part of not only the 11-12 submission, but also the 10-11 submission. We will be releasing the 10-11 state-by-state data profile submission over the next couple months, followed by the 11-12 data release. Lastly, and we will continue to talk about this, our office is focused on providing promising practices. We will begin in the next month or so releasing promises and practices that will go to you, the SIG directors. We have also contracted with the American Institutes of Research to conduct additional inquiries into promising practices. Between now and November, our goal is to release over 100 promising practices that will be shared with the field. This is part of our overall technical assistance strategy. We see ourselves as positioned to provide a national landscape to provide ideas or promising practices for the work that is taking place across the field. With that, I want to open it up to any questions. Aaron, if I can ask you to come back online.
Okay, and we will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Please unmute your phone and record your name clearly when prompted. Your name is required to introduce your question. To withdraw your request, press star 2. One moment, please, for the first question. And our first question comes from Ms. Diane Steamer. Ma'am, your line is now open.
Hi, Carlos. This is Diane. I'm just wondering, you mentioned update on FY13 SIG awards. I thought those were FY12.
I apologize, Diane. You're absolutely correct. They are FY12.
I thought maybe I missed something.
No, you're absolutely correct, Diane. They are FY12. My apologies for misspeaking.
Thank you.
I'm already looking ahead, Diane.
Always looking ahead. I'm just trying to get through this year.
Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you.
Any additional questions?
Mm-hmm. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, you can press star followed by the number 1. One moment, please, for the next question. Our next question comes from Ms. Sylvia. Ma'am, your line is now open.
Hi. Yeah, Carlos, in the areas that you were talking about, FY13, we should say FY12. Is that not right?
No, Sylvia, you're absolutely correct. I meant to say FY12.
That was confused there, too, for one second. I was getting
over. I'm already jumping ahead on FY13, but I meant to state FY12. So we've made to date, including today, 21 awards for FY12.
Right. And like you said, including today. Now, I know a couple of people gave me a call from what they saw in the Consumer Affairs report about some early kind of announcements of SIG funding. Now, would these that were announced today be in addition to what was announced then?
I'm not sure. I know today was a press release on the, let's see how many.
Yes, and there were a number of schools, and we kind of didn't see anything, and we said, well, wait, when will that be announced? So if you announce some more today, would we be looking at website?
Yeah, today it will be on the website, but there are 11 that are announced today. I think it happened at 3 o'clock, but I can double check. But I know that today we had planned on announcing 11 new awards. And so my 11 is included in that total 21.
Okay. I just was trying to figure that out because I said, wow, I said we looked at something earlier and we were just kind of wondering if announcements or awards got announced earlier than what you're talking about today. But we'll be on the lookout.
Sure. And what may have happened, Sylvia, is that sometimes there's a notification that goes to the Hill prior to the public announcement.
Uh-huh.
And so that Hill notification may have taken place on Friday, which probably is giving some people a heads up that this is forthcoming.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Mr. Jonas Zuckerman. Sir, you may proceed.
Hi, Carlos. Question about the data release. So you said, I just want to get the dates. So you said the 10-11 release will happen within the next couple of months. Is that right?
That is correct. As most of you may remember, we had a call a few months ago, I think in January, where we were asking for additional information on 11-12. We were also reaching back to states to clarify some questions that surfaced as it relates to the 10-11 data release. So as a result of that, our 10-11 data release is definitely behind. So the 10-11 data release will take place over the next couple months. I think our target date right now is toward the end of May. That will then lead us to the 11-12, which will take place sometime this summer.
Okay, that was my next question. So sometime this summer, can you give anything more definitive than that, or that's the best you have right now?
Well, I think the best I have is probably July to August for the 11-12. And Jonas, with that said, I do know that there are a number of states, just for the 10-11, just for an example, some data points was a zero that was submitted. And so there were questions around what that zero meant. And so we're going back on the 10-11. I'm not sure offhand if Wisconsin was one of them, but there are several states we're going back and forth with now just to clarify. But the 10-11 will go first. The 11-12 will probably be late summer. So just as an estimate, I would say July/August.
Okay, thanks. Is there any way when it gets closer, will you give us a heads up with a certain amount of warning just so we can be prepared, for any press that comes around with it or anything like that? I don't know if you'll know, a week or 10 days out, is there any way that you could let us know then?
Absolutely. In fact, Jonas, we are looking at releasing also a state-by-state profile, and that would mean prior to release, we will send it to each state for their review prior to making public the state profiles. And so that, I think as planned now, I think that's scheduled to maybe 2 weeks prior to any public release, we will notify you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And once again, if you would like to ask a question, you can do that by pressing star and then one. Next question comes from Ms. Diane Steamer. Ma'am, you may proceed.
Bless you. On the upcoming events, you talked about the peer-to-peer convenings. Is that face-to-face meetings? Is it regional? Or can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, Diane, thanks. So what we're doing this year, each year we've kind of added our peer-to-peer efforts a little bit differently. Our first year we had several consultants along with our office Taiwan office. We went to visit states that were implementing SIG and provided on-the-ground feedback, spent a few days within those states. A year ago, we brought states together one-on-one. This year, we are bringing 4 to 5 states together around themes. We're working through our options in terms of what those themes are and what those states are, Diane, so we have not finalized a list across those two smaller peer-to-peer convenings. But our ultimate goal is to take what is learned from those 4 to 5 states to build a white paper to be shared with the entire field. But those will obviously be also lead to kind of our much larger convening and how do we share across states what we've learned from those smaller convenings. So we haven't finalized the states for the smaller peer-to-peer efforts, but we are reaching out to states around the themes for those two peer-to-peer efforts.
Do you have a time frame for those? Are they going to be the spring, the summer? Do you have an idea?
Yeah, as planned right now, we are looking at May and June for the two smaller peer-to-peer. The large convening will take place at the end of September.
And that will be where? Do you know that one yet, the larger convening?
It will be here in D.C.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Diane.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Ms. Patty Roots. Ma'am, you may proceed.
Thank you. Hi, Carlos.
Hi, Patty.
I know there's been some confusion in regard to the reporting of increased learning time. Will that be reported in the data release?
We're still, and Patty, great question. Right now, because of the confusion, we're still going through that data point. As of today, it is not included in the data release.
Gotcha.
However, we are reviewing the data itself to see if anything could be said around the increased learning time.
All right. Thank you. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Thank you once again for questions. Press star 1. At this point, sir, we have no further questions on queue.
Well, thank you very much, Erin. I want to thank everyone for joining the call today. Just one last note on the Turnaround Core Grant. I want to make sure that you as states know that states are eligible to apply. This will be part of the FAQ that is released publicly. We have received a handful of questions from some of your colleagues regarding the possibility or eligibility of states applying for the Turnaround Grant. So there's more information to come on that. Again, thank you all for joining us. We want to continue to have these calls and just to keep you all updated and answer, have open-ended questions and answers for any questions that you have. Today we definitely wanted to discuss the sequester and its impact on SIG. We'll continue to try to keep you updated as we learn more here at the department. Thank you all again for joining us. Thank you, Erin.
You're welcome, sir. And the conference has concluded. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect.